This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Christian Crusaders Radio Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We thank you for worshiping with us today and invite you back every Sunday for worship with us.
There are many important days in our lives. For a Christian, the day he was baptized is one of those important days. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, you have given to us the possibility of living a very rich life. But we know that is not entirely possible unless Jesus Christ has a place. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you come into our lives through baptism, and from there we branch out to grow in grace and holiness, to give honor and glory to your kingdom. May we do just that this day. Feed us with your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
To hear your morning cry, I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. I was there when you were but a child with a faith to suit you.
Friends in Christ, the day you were baptized is an important part of your Christian faith story. Christians have not agreed on how the baptism is to be done, nor when it should take place, but there is general agreement that it has an important place in our salvation. Since our text talks today about John the Baptist's baptism, let's briefly just think about it for a moment. I read to you from the 3rd chapter of Luke. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the tongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." When all the people were baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heavens was open, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." As you look at this baptism of John the Baptist, you see that he distinguishes between the baptism that he is administering and Christian baptism. His might be a pre-Christian baptism. He said, "I baptize you with water. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Tom Wright, the British theologian, helps me with this distinction when he writes, "John's baptism symbolizes a commitment that they would be God's Israel. They would be the light of the world, those who were beginning a new life with God." St. Paul also distinguishes between the two baptisms when he called it a baptism of repentance on the part of John. The Bible tells us that when the apostle found some believers in Ephesus, he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" When they answered, "No, we have not heard of the Holy Spirit," Paul asked them, "Then what baptism did you receive?" They replied, "John's baptism." Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came to each one. Now, there is a distinction between John the Baptist's baptism that we have in our text today and the Christian baptism, which we have all experienced if we are baptized children of God. Let's take a look at Christian baptism as it is administered to infants. Christian baptism was first practiced when, after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit made his appearance. There the disciples were told, "Now you have the Holy Spirit, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the world." Many churches believe that Jesus told us to go and baptize the nations. Children are a part of the nation, and therefore these congregations practice infant baptism. The majority of mainline Protestantism, the Roman Catholic Church, and the Orthodox churches practice infant baptism. Think of the day you were baptized. To help you draw this mental picture, let me use myself as an example. And it is a mental picture of the day you were baptized. My family brought me to the church when I was a baby. Obviously, as a child, I have to imagine what that day was like. Addressing my parents was a pastor who also brought his same comments to the sponsors. The sponsors were chosen as people of God who would continually remember the child in prayer and would be anxious to see that he or she is really being instructed in the Christian faith. So here we stand at the baptismal font. Parents, sponsors, and the babe. And the pastor says, in Christian love, you have presented this child for holy baptism. You should therefore teach him the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. And that as he grows in years, you place in his hands the Holy Scriptures. Bring him to the services of God's house and provide for his instruction in the Christian faith, that abiding in the covenant of his baptism and in communion with the church, he may be brought up to lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. And then the very personal question, I therefore call upon you to answer in his stead. Are you ready? At that time, the pastor asks the parents and sponsors to confess their faith in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Then there is another personal question. Do you present this child to be baptized into this Christian faith? And parents and sponsors say, we do. At that time, the baptism takes place, with three handfuls of water being put on the head of the child. The pastor says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The service closes with a blessing and a prayer. And then there's an admonition to the sponsors and the parents again. At that time, a large certificate was given to my parents certifying that I was a baptized child of God. My father and mother had that certificate framed, and it hung over my bed until I left home. When I was ordained, my parents gave me that certificate, and it has hung on the wall of my study throughout my ministry. My baptism was in a very important time, day, in my life. It was a good reminder to have that certificate there in the study, because I could continually go and visualize when the Holy Spirit made his first approach into my heart. The Holy Spirit was placed there. But now let me hurry on to say, as one who was baptized as an infant, it was by no means the last day of the Holy Spirit's going to work in my unconscious mind. Now he was to awaken me to the salvation provided by Christ through Jesus' suffering and death at the cross of Calvary and by that glorious resurrection. And with this, my parents were given the awesome responsibility to be my teacher through whom the Holy Spirit was going to work. By the grace of God, I have remained in that baptismal covenant, and I can never remember a day when I didn't trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. But there came a time when I consciously had to enter into a personal relationship with Him as my Savior and Lord. Now, as an adult, able to think, having some values, what did I want to do with Jesus? Had my parents not, or anyone else, provided that instruction for me, my baptism would have been of little value. The baptism is necessary, but it must be followed in such a way that the child is introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is far more than simply taking that child to the font and having him or her baptized, and then forgetting all about it. For example, Joe Stalin, I am told, was baptized, but certainly walked away from the Christ who was given to him on that day. Now, some have another story to tell. They did not walk in their baptismal covenant. That doesn't make me any better. It just happens to be that the Holy Spirit continued to work under good instruction, and I was awakened until one day I said, Jesus, you're mine. I want to serve you. That's a spiritual awakening. But others, baptized perhaps on that same day, did not have the parents that I might have had. Their parents might have been negligent and failed to keep the promises to teach a child. They probably brought the child home, had a nice dinner with the friends, and then in the afternoon had a little open house. That's the way many baptisms took place through the years. But it's got to be more than that. I had to grow up. They, all baptized people, have to grow up and walk with Christ if they are to have any merit from their baptism at all. It might be that the parents were faithful, but the child was just a prodigal. He walked away. He didn't want any part of it. I remember one of my closest friends who was baptized shortly after I was, took that path. That's the way he wanted it to be. That person is still in contact, as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, with God Almighty. But he has rejected him, and his baptism is of no effect. However, if someday a person will suddenly say, you know, I've been noticing you. You need a Savior. You need the Lord Jesus. And all of a sudden, something would begin to happen in that person's soul. And he would say, that's right. I remember my father and my mother. They pleaded with me. They took me to Sunday school. They took me to church. We read the scriptures. And I just rebelled. I had all of that. And now I was a grown person in high school or on into the service. And I didn't need any more of that religion. And so you drifted farther and farther and farther away. Now then, what happens? You can be brought back. You can be brought back into a living relationship and converted. And the same God who had you in his arms when you were an infant is a God who never left your person. It is a God who is anxious to have you back in his arms as a converted child of God. Parents, many of us believe in infant baptism, but with it goes a great responsibility on your teaching the child. There are millions of other Christians today who believe in baptism in a different way. These brothers and sisters interpret the scriptures differently. They believe in believers' baptism. They believe that first a person comes into a relationship with Jesus as Savior, and prior to his or her baptism, confesses his or her faith in Christ, and in some cases, give their testimony to the church. To mention two of the believers who had baptism after their conversion, you turn to St. Paul. You remember he was converted on the Damascus Road when Christ threw him to the ground. And Paul, called Saul in those days, turned to Jesus. And he was told to get into the house of Ananias, who lived in Damascus. And there he would be instructed. So Ananias instructed him, and after that, Paul was baptized. Baptized into the name of the triune God. Another one would be the Philippian jailer. You recall that Paul and Silas were put in jail in Philippi, and then while they were in the inner cells, an earthquake came. And the cells burst open and the prisoners began to walk out. And the Philippian jailer was so disappointed in all that he was about to kill himself. When Paul and Silas said, stop, we're all here. We haven't left. And the next thing we hear in that text is the Philippian jailer saying, what shall I do to be saved. And then it was that Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved." And the jailer and all of his family came and received Christ and were baptized. That is, believers' baptism in a jail cell. So that is a little different approach. And that may be your experience as a person who believes in believers' baptism. I have witnessed two such baptisms. The one stands out very, very well in my mind. A friend of mine who was a good Baptist told me to come and be with him that night, that Sunday night, when his grandson was going to be baptized. He was a fine young man in his teens who stood in front of a congregation and made his confession of faith, saying that he trusted Jesus Christ for all things. And after that, and the baptism was by immersion, the pastor went with him into the tank, and he was baptized in the name of the Triune God. I have to believe that St. Paul and the jailer and that young man of only a few years ago look back on that day of their baptism and think, this is the beginning of a life with Jesus that never ends as long as I remain true to him. While we are one in Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters in the faith, there is an honest difference in our understanding of the Bible's teaching on baptism. I have been told that Billy Graham, a Baptist, was baptized as an adult. His wife Ruth, a Presbyterian, was baptized as an infant. They had their differences regarding baptism, evidently, but they were one in Christ. Some of these differences will be cleared only when we get to heaven. Whatever time and way in your life you were baptized, remember that day. Remember that day. Remember you were baptized. But realize it was only the beginning of a glorious relationship with Jesus that has to grow as you walk with him in the word and in prayer, through the good days and the bad days. Your life is a journey which begins at baptism. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the one who has initiated the action in our lives. You are the one who first chose us to be yours forever. Oh God, we thank you that you have come to us in our baptism, and there you have planted the seed, the Word, the Holy Spirit, who will work in us to perform and perfect that which is good. We confess, O God, that we so often walk away from that baptismal covenant. But we are grateful that by your grace, your arms are extended, and you are always anxious to have us back. Father, we pray for those parents who have stood by the baptismal font and answered for their children. We pray that you will give them strength to realize that their promise is still on and that they need to surround that boy and that girl with a glorious message of the gospel. We thank you for those who are faithful. We pray for those who are negligent. Build within their hearts a spiritual awakening that they may see again there is still time to talk daily to their son or daughter about his or her relationship with Jesus. And so we ask, O God, that we may realize that it does not stop there, but that the church and the sponsors may give heed to the promises that they have made, that they would be faithful to that child also. Be with us all as we begin this new year. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will provide a strong foundation for your coming week. A number of devoted Christian Crusaders listeners has chosen to include our ministry in their estate planning. Estate gifts have become a significant part of this ministry, and we are grateful to all of those who have chosen to make a final gift to support this mission. In this way, these donors have a legacy of faith in Christ that extends far beyond their time on earth. To find out more about including Christian Crusaders in your estate planning, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Please direct all gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Christian Crusaders publishes a weekly preview of the upcoming program, which you can receive via email. To receive this e-newsletter, please call us or visit our website at christiancrusaders.org to sign up. You can also join our mailing list to receive our quarterly newsletter, The Crusader, which contains a special article by Reverend Larson, as well as news about our ministry. If you'd like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 74th year of broadcasting biblical truth.